It's Thursday, March 9th, 2017. You're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast about retro video games, and sometimes some other things. This is episode 178, Miracle Balls. Runtime for this episode is about an hour and 15 minutes.
Hello, and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that aims for the stars, and you can determine where we land. My name is Jeremy.
I'm a Sagittarius, guys. I'm Tyler.
I did not really ever need to know that.
You could have looked it up. You know my birthday.
I do?
Yes.
It's
in February, right?
Yeah, okay, never mind then. Never mind.
My name is Zach, and my birthday is not in February.
My name is Kevin, and my phone knows what Tyler's birthday is, even if I don't.
That's true. Google knows.
Yep.
The goons.
Damn it. Kevin is joining us for the first time in 2017. Welcome back, Kevin.
Thanks.
I thought you were going to say the first time in 20 years.
The repellent wore off. Somebody has to go buy a new super repel.
His beard does look like he's been imprisoned for some time, and he's come back to reclaim his throne that I stole.
It's the Count of Monte Cristo.
Well, yes. I was actually going to... Let's go back a step. Is Kevin a Zubat? Is that what you're just
super
saying?
Repel. He's like a Golbat.
I find that offensive.
Good, you should.
I'm trying to make a joke about Repel and Super Repel, how they work, that's similar to the light year joke in Brock's gym, but I can't make it work.
Oh, light
Super Repel just lasts longer. It doesn't repel more Pokemon, which is why Willy should still be swarmed by Pokemon, because Repel only repels things lower than the highest level Pokemon in your party.
Really?
Yes. So Lily he'll be like eaten by Jangmawos.
Well, I didn't actually know what that was.
Cosmog never leveled up, and when you get it in your party, it's like level 58 or something.
Okay, that's fair. So, she does still have it. It's just like fainted. So I don't know how that works.
Well, she should have blacked out and then
and woke up in her room and been trapped.
So I actually think that all the main characters of Pokemon games are mildly autistic or something because they can't deal with the bizarre scenario of having all their Pokemon faint, so they just black out. Like, they go into, like,
they go into catatonic shock.
Yeah, they go into shock, basically. When, like, no one else in the entire world does that. Only your character is like, oh no, my Pokemon! Rage!
It's because you've made a special link with your Pokemon.
That's why you're a better Pokemon trainer than Blue, who is a jerk.
Until you fight him again later, in which case he's actually a pretty good Pokemon trainer.
Professor Blue is a jerk.
I'm sorry, Professor Blue?
I was trying to make a Professor X joke, and he is Professor Oak's grandson, but Professor Oak isn't a jerk.
I mean, he's kind of a joke. I also found out that the Professor Oak you find in Sun and Moon is not the same Professor Oak. He explicitly says, I am Professor Oak's brother.
Yeah,
also
it's
Professor Oak.
It's a Alolan form Professor Oak.
Yeah, he is. Well, I assumed it was the original Professor Oak who had, you know, gotten a tan, grown out his mullet a little bit. But no, it's Professor Oak's brother, whose name is like Samson instead of Simpson or something to that effect.
Isn't that him just trying to hide the fact that he's dating Ash's mom?
He's actually in a sweet Alolan vacation, keeping an eye on his stepson, Red, who is there with his, I assume, boyfriend, Blue?
So who is Blue's grandma? Is it Agatha?
Yeah, I think it's pretty heavily implied to be Agatha, yeah.
Okay.
At the very least, she has, like, backstory.
They definitely had a fling of some sort.
Although, Blue also has a sister, so...
Yes, well, that doesn't change who his grandma is.
Well, I mean, okay, so
talking about Blue's parents here, just his grandparents.
Oh, right. Grandparents do not directly produce two generations down.
Yes, that's how breeding works.
Generally speaking.
I'm sorry, but biology was never one of my strongest subjects.
So what have you been playing, Mr. Biology?
What have I been playing? That's a really good question. I've been playing a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links,
so
actually.
Have I, kind of.
Kind of.
I got a Dark Magician Girl deck, kind of, and a Kaiba Birds deck. You'd think dragons, but no birds.
Well, I mean, peak performance affects winged creatures, yes. Too, right? So we had touched on this the last time we talked about the game, but like every main character you can play gains access to main character powers over the course of the game that allow them to basically screw the rules because you have not money gems, I guess. The first one that Kaiba has access to is called Peak Performance, which allows him to play Mountain just like at the beginning of every game. Which is pretty nice.
Yeah, so I have birds.
Yep, birds. I have a Kaiba Dragon Sojin.
Deck. Yeah, Mako has... Or no, what is Sojin?
Plains. I like warriors.
And beasts.
I don't know who has that. Probably someone.
Warrior beasts.
You would think Joey.
Or warriors and then like beast warriors. Joey would make sense. Since
yeah, I've actually... Joey is actually the character I played the most with, partially because I couldn't figure out how to copy his deck to any other character. And, like, the best thing he gets access to is Grit, which is... Occasionally, he just won't lose if he would have lost on that turn.
He really needs to have a special power be called Brooklyn Rage.
Well, actually, what's great about that is some of the character or some of the monsters that I assume they never actually printed that only Joe, like Joe uses a lot in the anime, have a Brooklyn accent description on them.
That's pretty great.
It's like, this mighty lizard warrior swings his sword really hard. And that's how it's written on the card.
I think they printed all of them.
Probably most of them.
I don't know, do they print them with a Brooklyn accent, though?
No, I can't think of any cards that they didn't print.
Yeah, there were a few, but even the super broken in the anime cards just got toned down to the point of uselessness.
Like Time Wizard?
Time Wizard isn't that broken. It's always, in the anime, it was always a 50% shot. Joey just has good luck.
Yeah, like, really swingy.
That's kind of his, like, attribute throughout the entire series is he's just lucky, which is why Kaiba still boat murders him in every third, fourth place match they play, but
I really like in this when you beat Taya with Joey, she's like, "I lost to Joey, Joey."
But Joey's
this is
like
sting for a month.
Joey's like top four in every tournament. So,
well, at the beginning of the anime, since I watched it recently, Joey is so bad. Taya just absolutely murders him.
Yeah, but then it gets a Time Wizard and just
and baby
graceful
dragon
dice.
I play Time Wizard in attack mode.
At the beginning of that arc, Joey gets like Baby Dragon, Time Wizard,
shield
Kunai
sword.
With Chain,
oh,
and
Kunai with
Shield
chain.
And
Kunai
Sword.
Kunai with Chain is a good card.
He gets all of those at the same time because Yugi gives them to him.
No, he trades for them on the boat. I don't know what he traded or how or...
Yugi gives him Time Wizard.
Okay, I believe
he trades
that.
For the other cards.
I've also been watching a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! Bridge because Jeremy mentioned the... monster card meme, and so I went and watched it, and it was hilarious. So I don't know that I've actually been playing a whole lot in terms of video games. I've been going on a Pokedex completion run in Moon.
Full completion or just the
Alolan decks? Because really, one, my goals are defeat Alex, my arch rival. Two, build a team to defeat Zach, my other arch rival, but in a different field.
yeah, that's not gonna happen.
And three, breed some shiny Pokemon. And
that's hard. Yeah. That's the one that's not going to happen.
No, see, that's the one that actually has the better chance of happening than beating me.
Your Pokemon strategies, they're so, so intense. I expect you to switch out, and you're like, nope, I'm not going to switch out against my weakness. I'm just going to kick it to death.
It's no, that see, next level strats.
He's hey, thinking three steps ahead.
It worked.
It did.
It,
yes.
It definitely did not skip leg day.
See, I'm trying to figure out a team too, because I just realized speed boost to Blaziken is only banned by Smoggin rules, not any like online rules. So I could just get speed boost Blaziken and
kind of dominate everything.
Well, I mean, everyone else can also have speed boost
okay,
Blaziken.
Well, like I try to keep myself to Smogon OU tier.
I use whatever I think is kind of fun.
Go Sun Kitty. Which is actually not a... I was actually looking at their stats, and both Lunala and Solgaleo don't actually have great stats, which is kind of weird.
Well, like, I didn't need Solgaleo to beat you the second time.
That's true. Instead, you brought a useful Pokemon. Well, what was I going to say? Lunala was actually terrible. I was going to use it for a while out of, like, nostalgia for Nebby, the Nebby that once was, and it's just awful. It's bad. I can't... which yeah. I kind of like, because that means it might actually be competitive tier legendary.
The way the official rules work is you get one legendary, and why would you not choose
Groudon,
Rayquaza, or Groudon, or Imperial Drummond Fighter Mode, Zygarde? That's what it's called.
Speaking of Pokemon, though, I've also been playing Pokemon Go, and I was like sitting there trying to think of any Pokemon in Gen 2 that I'd actually be excited to catch.
Heracross.
Yeah, well, Heracross.
The world's first useful bug Pokemon.
The other one that I came up with, because I saw it on the way home, was Larvitar.
Oh, Larvitar's cool. Larvitar's one of my faves.
Is he second gen?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Espeon, I'm also into.
I haven't caught. Oh, yeah, I haven't Espeon, found definitely. One of those yet in my Soul Silver run.
I really liked Umbreon.
I also found out that Shiny Umbreon is just awesome, because where it has the yellow rings, or instead, blue rings.
Yeah, it actually does look really cool.
I actually went Umbreon way back when I originally played Silver.
Never used any of them.
Mareep is cool.
Oh, yeah, because it turns into a sweet hair metal Ampharos. I thought Mareep was Gen 3.
No, nope. it's most certainly Gen 2. Well, yep. I have okay. one in my team right now.
I mean, I'll believe that.
There are a couple of Gen 2 ones, but I do think it's one of the weakest generations in terms of Pokemon design. The legendaries are just kind of echoes of the legendary birds, even though they're better designed than the first three. They're nothing new and special, I don't think.
Are you thinking of the three dogs?
No, I'm thinking of Ho-Oh and Lugia, but also those.
Yeah, no, the three dogs are basically the birds, but dogs instead.
Those are interesting mechanically, but not design-wise.
And more obnoxious to catch.
Like I said, interesting mechanically.
Yeah, interesting. Quotes. And fastballs didn't exist.
But
I
think it's the weakest gen in terms of starters by a pretty wide margin.
I ended up going with Cyndaquil purely because I like the fire Pokemon, and there's not nearly as many useful fire Pokemon, and the rest and the other two are absolute shit.
Well, and fire Pokemon are really hard to find in second gen.
Feraligatr is actually pretty good in the Gen 4 remakes because there are physical type water moves it can beat people up with, and it learns some dragon type moves, which is really helpful against the last gym leader who's a big pain.
But then Gyarados also exists.
Well, I looked them up, and it doesn't actually learn any water type physical moves.
Waterfall.
Yeah, you have to teach it.
Would you get
waterfall
as an HM?
Well, I meant more of, it doesn't learn anything useful on its own. Its move list is garbage.
That's definitely true.
Oh, something I learned recently, though, because I was doing a bunch of... in my quest to complete my Pokedex, I was trying to find a cast form, which you can catch on...
I got one of those. It's in, like, the jungle, right?
It can spawn in basically any place that can have naturally occurring weather effects. I caught mine on Executor Island because I was like, oh, I can do Sandstorm, and they're Gastrodon there, so they won't take damage from Sandstorm, so I can keep it at low health. But my Snorlax was, like, getting beat up. I'm like, okay, well, this isn't tenable, so I need leftovers. So I went and did a ton of Battle Royales to get leftovers for my Snorlax so he wouldn't kill himself with his own Sandstorm. But I found out that Mamoswine is apparently the bane of my team.
Well, Mamoswine's a good Pokemon, bro.
Yeah,
Ice Shard?
Yeah, no, or Icicle Crash is what it used to knock out every single one of my Pokemon in one hit. I don't understand.
See, in my case, it was actually a good Pokemon.
Mamoswine is a good Pokemon.
It was always my bane, and that was Alakazam.
Alakazam is also a good Pokemon.
I have not actually... Oh, no, that's not... I've seen one Mako evolve in the Battle Royales, so...
I love Alakazam.
I always preferred Gengar, but I think Alakazam is objectively the better sweeper.
Well, now, since Gengar lost Levitate.
Oh, it doesn't have Levitate anymore?
Nope.
Oh, jeez. Well, I mean, Alakazam already has higher speed and special attack, so...
Yeah, it's more sweepery. Gengar is always, like, a tricky Pokemon. He's a revenge killer or a, like, specialist.
Yeah, or Gengar or Alakazam is Psychic to Victory.
Yeah.
So what have you been playing Psychic to Victory?
So I picked up the open beta, or not the open beta, but the early access of Conan Exiles.
How is that? I saw you playing it, like... 3 weeks ago.
It's actually pretty fun. So they've only got about a fifth of the map that they have planned for the final launch actually done. So they basically have the desert biome, and they're going to add four more, as well as more things. So right now, because of the lack of content, I had gotten on with a group of people who were running a server. I was playing with them, and the goal was to make the server open and PvP so that other people could jump on and we could fight them.
Wait, so can we go back a sec? You can run your own server in this game?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you have to run it through a server like service. So you have to rent a server from somewhere else, but you can host.
So it's not like your 7 days servers.
No. I was thinking because it's an MMO, right? Like,
no, it's not.
Oh,
it's like 7 days, but with Conan instead of...
They made a Conan MMO, and it did not do very well, so this is the same studio, probably a lot of the same art assets, but a different game.
Okay, this makes a lot more sense to me now. I was assuming it was an MMO-styled game, because you had mentioned it in the same breath as Warframe, so I assumed that it was similarly hosted for some reason.
Yeah, no, it's more, not single-player survival, but multiplayer survival. One of the interesting things about it is it allows for full nudity, which...
That's not normally an interesting thing for most games.
Well, it's because most games don't do that.
Yeah,
so that's
most
what
games
makes
don't
it
be sold in Walmart, so...
But it's canon to the Conan universe.
You can put that on the back of the box, right? Totally has dick and boobs. it'd be all Game of Thrones up in here.
Yeah. Starting off, survival is pretty hard because early on, most things can obliterate you just really without trying.
Well, when you have just a dagger against large, angry things, it generally becomes very difficult.
I didn't even have a dagger. I had, like, a stick with a rock tied to it that I was trying to hit them with.
Sounds very Minecraft.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what it is. Later on, you can, you know, you can smelt steel weapons and stuff. One of the cool things is they have NPCs that you can break on a something called a Wheel of Pain and turn them into thralls.
Yeah, but what if you try to do that to Arnold Schwarzenegger and he rises up and is the protagonist?
But I mean,
you're the protagonist, so that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Have you seen your hair?
You are the exile. So the thralls thing is pretty cool because you can get, there is a bunch of different types. There's, you know, guys with swords, warriors, guys with bows. You can get people to do, to help your crafting for you. So like you can put a carpentry thrall in the woodworking station and anything you make at that station will be made faster. And then depending on the level of the thrall, they might be able to
make stuff for you.
Yeah. So like one of the blacksmiths, if you get a high enough level blacksmith, he can make a flawless longsword, which is better than the one you could craft by yourself.
I have a question. What is the difference between a guy with sword thrall and a warrior thrall?
There isn't.
I mean, it's, you give the warrior spear, an axe. Sword is very, you know.
Eventually,
weapon.
You're going to be able to outfit the thralls however you want, so you can put your own stuff to them. But right now, there's just, it's warrior thrall, archer thrall, and then the crafting thralls. And then there are priest thralls. One of the reasons you want them is you can summon an avatar of your god, which is this giant monster that can destroy buildings.
It's Conan, so aren't all gods just Lovecraftian beings?
Yeah,
that seems because, like incredibly unwise.
Because the guy who made Conan and Lovecraft hung out together.
Yes.
So the main there's four main gods right now with more being planned. So there's Cro-Mac, I think is his name. And all Cro-Mac ever does for you is gives you the strength to survive when you're born, and then he just lets you go.
And then he's just like, screw you, man.
So basically, he's the god you pick if you don't want to have to practice a religion.
Yeah, I was going to say, who is the one that Conan worships, and then in the first movie, Arnold's like, hey, God, give me victory here, or you.
I'm not sure. So the other ones, there's Yogg, who's like this god of cannibals. So you can sacrifice people in this pit of Yogg to gain favor with him. To
are you sure he's not just Yogg Sogoth, the Lovecraftian horror?
Yogg Sogoth does not seem like he would care if you sacrifice people to him.
That's fair.
The god that my clan worships is Set, who's the snake god. You rip out the hearts of your enemies and sacrifice them on the altar of Set, which is really fun.
I'm worried about you, Kevin.
No, I was going to, I'm not that worried. I was going to ask if like it's a nomadic caravan type of thing or if you like go and set up a single stationary village.
You go
or...
and you go up and set up a base. The map, especially right now, the map is not very big at all. Like it will take you 20 minutes to run from edge to edge.
I know, like my internal image of the Conan universe is very deserty, which seems like it would be awesome to have like a traveling warrior caravan in. So
yeah, this is deserty. So of course, you set up your settlement near the river because you need food and water, and you can create wells to make water anywhere. But it's generally easier to set up near a river because wells are apparently very advanced technique. So you need to be high level in order to learn how to make them, and they require a bunch of resources to make.
Yeah, secret technique, well of never-ending water. This sounds pretty good.
Yeah, basically. And then, so one of the things I love is the inventory system. There is like a carrying capacity, but you're able to carry things that you wouldn't be able to physically carry. Like there's a large well that's, I don't know, 20 feet across, and you can just carry that along with other stuff. It's like, yeah, I'm just carrying this giant well with me.
I believe Arnold Schwarzenegger could carry a well in his prime. Probably not anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, you're carrying other stuff,
well,
too.
Just a small one.
Also, how do you compliment someone for delivering a well to a location?
Generously.
Well done.
Ha, 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 ha. Can we just put that Titus laugh on the soundboard? We need a soundboard.
Technically, this can be a soundboard. Yes, you can press a button. And
so one of the other thing that's cool is they added these kind of boss monsters to the game. So there's this ancient city that's a corrupted zone, and you will gain corruption whenever you enter it. And corruption fills up your health and stamina meters, reducing them. And you need to find something called a dancer thrall in order to remove corruption.
Yeah, you gotta dance the night away. So you basically, can be there again.
Anyway, in this corrupted zone and in a couple other places, there are these giant dragons that you can fight. I remember reading somewhere that it took a party of like 8 people 2 hours to kill this thing or something like that. Like, that's just how much health it had.
Bored, going home.
I mean, I feel like there are more.
I would not spend 2
raids.
Hours trying to kill one thing.
I mean, I probably wouldn't either, but I know there are people who would.
Yeah, it's something to build towards. Like, you can just totally avoid them. Although there is this really cool set piece of we're running across these dunes and all of a sudden we see this giant pit and we look down in the pit and we see that there's this bone dragon down there. And we're like, we wonder how we get down there because it's like a 300-foot drop and there's no way I'm surviving that. Even with the at launch fall damage was greatly reduced. Like, you could jump off cliffs and be totally fine. Like, literally not even take damage.
It's the opposite of a tabletop RPG.
Yep.
Anything else, Kevin?
Nope. I've really just been playing that. Kind of stopped pretty recently because they haven't updated in a while. I mean, they've been doing like fix updates, but until they release
more
content. Yeah, until they release the more major content, the people that I'm playing with aren't really playing either because we're like, yeah, we hit the level cap of 50 and we've built these bases and we've explored the map and we're just kind of waiting for more stuff to come out because it is fun, but there's still a couple of things that are buggy, like the archery. It might work now, but it definitely doesn't work very well. Every third arrow wasn't even firing and there's a stat for accuracy, but it doesn't appear to do anything.
Yeah, I have a couple random games that I got early access to that I kind of... One of them I'm holding off on entirely until they just release the actual
Which
game.
Which one's that?
CrossCode.
No, because it's a story-based thing and you don't want to experience any kind of story before it actually hits live?
It's not necessarily a story-based game, but it's a long action RPG, and I'm probably not going to want to replay it for a while, and I'd prefer to, like...
Play the whole thing.
If I am only going to play it once, which is probably the case. I would like to play it in this completed state and not the half-completed state.
No, that makes perfect sense.
But yeah, this was a lot easier to get early access because they were, you know, basically it's, all right, we're putting this thing into beta, and they did have bugs, but they were very quick turnaround. Like, oh, this bug developed, and then a day later they had a patch for it.
Well, and if you look at the Minecraft model, which this game seems to be based on, it was, here is some features, more will come out in perpetuity.
I mean, as a programmer of some sort, that is way how I prefer to program things, because it allows me to get feedback and then I can make it better.
Yeah. There's a reason it's taken off.
I always forget that 7 days is technically still an alpha.
Yeah, which is, like, it's such a massive
sprawling game. It's a term
that
doesn't make
right
sense
now.
For that, but we haven't come up with a term as a society for that, other than, I guess, early release. Like, there needs to be a term for a game that's out, but is still under active development. Well,
like, remember the underwhelming announce of Minecraft officially released?
Yeah, well, he did it because no one cared, and he knew no one cared.
Exactly.
So he did it so people would stop saying, technically, it's not done.
Well, like, a lot of people were, like, saying...
We're not going to review it until it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and a lot of people were, I guess, reporting on the fact that it's finally released. I mean, like, it's the exact same game you've been playing for 5 years already.
Well, that's
like,
because that's how the video game news industry works. Like, everybody actually knew what was up with the Nintendo PlayStation, a thing I wanted to know forever, and a ton of journalists knew. They just didn't have anyone who was paying them to write about it until that guy found a working one somewhere, and there was interest in it, and suddenly all the information for it came out.
Yeah, one of the things that, so for the most part, the early access community for Conan Exiles was pretty positive, but there were a bunch of people that were comparing it to some of the other early access games. They're like, man, I can't believe they released it with all these bugs. It's like they didn't release it. This is an early access, and it's been out for 3 days.
That's kind of the point of early access. There are bugs. We know there are bugs.
It's also
you're
the
going
point
to
of
find
Bethesda.
Bugs.
Yeah.
Oh, I bought the Barbarian Edition, which was their deluxe edition. It came with the Conan RPG. Which looks interesting.
The tabletop one?
Yeah, the tabletop RPG.
Okay.
And it's a new version of it, so they've redone some things. Some, like, comic books, a in-game mount for Age of Conan, which I'm never going to use, and a t-shirt. And it was only, like, an extra $30, so it was like, all right, I mean, that seems worth it.
I want a Dave the Barbarian game.
I'm excited over Starfinder.
Anything else, Kevin?
No, not really. It's been mostly playing that and then, like, watching anime and stuff.
So what have you been playing, Starfinder?
Yeah, what is Starfinder?
Starfinder is Paizo's new RPG based on the Pathfinder system, but it's...
It's like Starjammer, but not...
It's not like D&D classes.
Okay.
But it's science fiction, so...
Gotcha.
And I'm, like I said, I'm kind of looking forward to that. I've been playing a lot of League, because when am I ever not playing a lot of League?
When the servers are down.
I mean, I
fortunately, they're not down very often.
I see you playing Overwatch occasionally instead of League.
How could you ever see me playing anything? You're never actually online anymore.
I occasionally turn on my desktop to do stuff.
Yeah, he lurks.
Yeah. It's been a busy year, okay?
I'm still going to make fun of you.
I'm not saying I don't deserve it.
But I've been playing a lot of that. I got to a level 6 on Varus for the mastery because that makes any kind of difference.
What does that mean?
It means I got to level 5 and then got 2 S rank games while at level 5.
It's a mastery type thing of like, I've played this character a bunch, you know, so.
Okay, so it's like a ribbon you can place.
Basically,
it just shows up on the loading screen when you are loading into the game.
You gotcha. Also get an in-game animation that you can activate. It's supposed to mean that you're good on the champion. The problem is you just gain points for playing the champion. So it's supposed to mean, oh, that guy's level 5. That means that he's played a ton of games and is pretty good on that champion. But all that really means is that guy's just played a ton of games on that champion. It doesn't mean that he's actually learned anything about that champion.
It's like Overwatch and Splatoon. You have a level, but all that actually means is you play the game a lot. It doesn't mean you're actually good.
Yeah.
A little bit, except for League just maxes out at level 30.
The ranks, so they added rank 6 and rank 7, which require you to get S ranks on games in order to unlock, which means that you had to have at least had some good games because your ranking is determined by your skill.
Theoretically.
In a given game, your rank is determined by how well you did with like kills, deaths, assists, CS, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So I got that. I was kind of happy. I've been playing a lot more Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, though.
I see that because your TV is in the background and it's currently highlighted in Steam.
How many hours does he have?
I can't tell from here. It's in blue and doesn't show up in super high contrast.
Less than I thought. I think it's at 4.
That is not many. Anyway.
Nope.
No, it feels like a lot more because I'll typically play a couple of races every so often, so it feels like I'm playing a lot more of it than I actually am, evidently. That one's kind of fun. I prefer Most Wanted in those type of games.
It was a really good game. I liked Most Wanted.
But Hot Pursuit is more arcade type of gameplay.
So it's like race to race as opposed to like the overworld thing.
Yeah, you've got 2 sides. You can play the racers or the police in that one. And
are there special police? And then you can call out tank, and then
you can't call out tanks or anything like that. But you can commit murder because there is no way the guy doing 180 miles an hour that rolled 16 times in his convertible did not die.
He's just sleeping.
Yeah. No, he's in the Fast and Furious universe where if you're in a car, you're invincible. It's only when you get out of your car that you can be killed. But inside your car, you're invincible.
It's just that they have like a lot of the cars that are shared between the racers and the police. The racers are generally convertibles, and when you bust people, a lot of the time they will go like rolling down the highway at 200 miles an hour.
Like in GTA 5 Online, 1-star, the police will go full lethal on you because there's no arrest mechanic in the online mode, which means if you rear end somebody, the police go guns blazing after you.
I personally love the police that murder innocent civilians to get at you.
Yes,
it's
yes,
like, I have 1-star, therefore I'm going to shoot anything that moves remotely close to you.
I accidentally tailgated or rear-ended this guy, and in the ensuing chase, the police have now killed about 50 people.
Including the guy you rear-ended.
The guy I rear-ended, and I have killed no one.
My favorite thing is when you're just sitting there and the cop runs into you and then gives you a star. It's like, what the fuck? I was parked. You ran into me.
I was parked. It doesn't matter that I was parked as the getaway car for the bank robbers that are inside right now, but I was parked. I'm even in the right zone. But I actually spent most of Sunday watching/catching up on a couple of anime series. The first one called Gabriel Dropout.
Is it about a guy who doesn't go to high school anymore?
No, it's about an angel who is like the top of her class in angel school coming down.
Is it Gabriel
Earth.
Academy?
No.
Oh.
But she comes down to Earth, you know, to help people and learn about Earth and becomes a gamer.
Yeah, she finds an MMO and gets addicted to it and doesn't want to ever go to school anymore.
She's friends with a demon who is very nice and responsible and all this kind of stuff.
Like, holds down a steady job.
She doesn't have a job because they're in high school, but...
They get paid by heaven and hell.
Yeah, they get...
It's like a foreign exchange thing, so they have a stipend for expenses.
It's pretty great. Like, I actually really liked that series.
I feel like I've heard of it before.
I told you about it.
That might be where I've heard of it before.
Well, and it also is coming out now, so I could see ads for it somewhere.
It's a fun series with kind of a ridiculous element to it. So, like,
it's a comedy anime.
Yeah, I'd check it out. It's kind of a fun one. The other one that I was watching, and I need to catch up because I'm a couple episodes behind now, is Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid.
Man, this could go so many directions. Dare I ask what this one is about?
a programmer evidently gets absolutely plastered one night and offers a dragon the opportunity to stay at her house.
I mean, that sounds like a thing I'd do.
Well, she rescues the dragon first.
Yeah. So she rescues the dragon and then offers...
Was it from a princess? Did a princess kidnap the dragon and a programmer had to rescue
her? No, there was like a sword embedded in her side or something like that. And it was like a magical sword, so she couldn't pull it out.
Okay, wait. Let's go back a step here. Is it a naturally occurring phenomena in the universe of the show for a programmer to be strolling down the street while plastered and encounter a dragon?
No.
Okay.
This is unusual.
The dragon is actually from an alternate universe where, like, magic and dragons are real. Like, this universe is just regular Japan, so she's just a salary woman, you know, who got drunk and was apparently wandering through the woods.
But what's the average power level of her universe?
Zero? Yeah, like, everyone's normal.
It's down there with Universe 6 and Universe 2.
No, 7 and 9 are the lowest.
Are they? Okay. I watched that one clip.
But it's another fun one. Because, like, you have this really, really powerful character that's just a maid doing maid things and being bad at it.
Well, and she's also in love with Miss Kobayashi.
Yeah, there's that too.
So it's like Yuri Bearstorm.
What?
I don't know.
What?
All I know about it is it's an anime the director who did most of Sailor Moon did in 2009, and it's called Lesbian Bearstorm.
Okay. No, but there's a few other characters. Like, they have Fafnir, who is another dragon who absolutely hates humans, ends up as another gamer, and is, like, online 23 hours a day.
It's because he gets introduced to Dark Souls and really likes it.
Yeah,
that's ruined a lot of lives.
Yeah, he basically becomes, like, a Dark Souls gamer nerd. It's another pretty fun one, just because it's another absurdist.
Yeah, it's kind of like a slice of life comedy anime.
Slice of life absurd situation. So it's another fun one. I would recommend it. But
it's like that one single episode of Cowboy Bebop where the leftover food in their fridge comes
alive. Which is the first one I saw.
Not quite.
If that was a whole anime.
No, not quite. It makes a bit more sense than that.
I put my project on pause to watch every episode of Cowboy Bebop and convert each episode into as many different RPGs as I could.
Cowboy Bebop is another good series.
It is.
Yeah.
It's actually one of those old ones that I don't own. Huh. Why don't I own Cowboy Bebop? That's a good question.
It's probably still in print and probably not expensive because
it's
very popular.
I think it was at Best Buy the last time I was there.
All right, so we're going to put the podcast on hold so Zach can go buy Cowboy Bebop.
Okay, I'll be right back. Now,
see you later.
Zach Cowboy.
Yeah, I was going to say,
wait a minute, you guys are in my house.
Yep. Which is weird.
Yeah,
bizarre.
It's unusual. But other than that, like, I just haven't been doing as many gaming-related things, and I think part of it is because my usual gaggle of companions and teammates has not been as active.
Hi.
Well, I've been playing a lot to make up for it. I've been playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links, like Tyler. I don't know if I have anything else to say about it. but I've been playing it.
It sure is the Yu-Gi-Oh card game, but slightly pared down.
Yep. I've been playing Pokemon Sun. I finally found the last Zygarde cell.
Oh, yeah.
Where so was you weren't it?
The last place I looked.
Okay, well,
no
yeah.
kidding.
Where was
exactly
that?
Was it?
It was in that mountain with the fairy chick who's like, I should make a...
I should do a trial.
I'm not going to, though, because the programmers didn't finish this game. It was a place I'd already been to twice, so I think it had to be in the day and nobody noted that. Because I was specifically watching a video and going at the time he was going to each cell to do this. So now I can get a Zygarde complete, and I hatched enough eggs to get the IV judge. And so now I have to figure out what I'm going to do next.
So where is the IV judge? Is
in
he
the battle
in the battle tree.
Is he the guy who like yawns at you if you're not impressive enough?
Yeah, but once you unlock him, you just do it from your PC.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
I need to do that, but I've been playing, trying to get through Silver.
I've been breeding Orangaroo and sending them out into the world because they're version exclusive. So
and a pain.
I would like an Orangaroo.
Yep.
I have a Paramecium.
My current one is named Winston. So I actually have the other one because Alex got one for me. Ah. So.
But mostly I've been playing Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, yeah. How is it?
Boy Band Simulator.
It's real good. It maybe not great. It's got a lot of really cool systems and a couple of very small problems. Like, I don't know where to start in talking about it. I guess I'll start with the problem, which is, you know how in Final Fantasy VII there's a giant meteor coming, but you don't care because you're busy breeding chocobos?
Yeah, yeah.
This game feels like that's happening, but it hasn't told me what. It's just like something bad's coming, so you better get on with the plot. But I guess if you just want to go hunting monsters and driving your car around.
Can you customize your car?
Yes. You can go to the auto shop. You can put flames and racing stripes on it.
That seems can you put like both flames and racing stripes on it?
Yes.
Racing flames.
All right, there we go.
Kind of annoying if you know that there's something or think there's something coming, but it never actually tells you what that is.
It is. The plot is super weird. It's like, hey, did you watch the anime? I'm like, no. It's like, well, here are some characters, and here are sort of what's going on. Like, it showed me the big city getting attacked, and now my dad is dead, so I'm the king, and I have to go get these weapons, but that's, like, all I know. There's an evil empire. They keep dropping soldiers via dropships onto me.
That seems...
It's a weird, but the game is really, really fun, so I don't care. Like, I could just go move on with the plot, and then I would see more plot stuff. But it is fun to go fight monsters and then go back to the restaurant and turn in bounties. It is weird how Final Fantasy it feels while feeling not at all like Final Fantasy. The combat is much more like a like modern brawler, like an Arkham game or a Shadow over Mordor.
Hmm. Oh, okay. So with like chaining attacks and counters and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, but you chain attacks by holding the button instead of pressing it, which is kind of weird.
That just seems annoying to me that you actually have to hold the button down. It feels uninteractive.
It depends. You're mostly varying up what you do a lot. I think that's on purpose because the game doesn't want you to just be attacking. Because where you get a lot of damage from is if you attack an enemy from behind, you do extra damage. And you get not a cutscene exactly, but a more involved attack animation. And if you do that when you're by one of your allies, you will do a team-up attack. And that will do even more damage. The main thing that differentiates it from most brawlers is you have a warp that's kind of like a blink. But if you blink into an enemy from far away, that does a ton of damage. So I think they mostly want you to be moving around and
so it's more
planning
about,
strikes rather than playing it like a brawler.
So it's more about battlefield position than just watch me sit here waiting to counter all the enemies that have gathered in a circle.
Well, presumably as you get access to like giant spells, you need to like use that mobility to get a casting range.
So the spell system is also very interesting. You basically, there's random fire element, lightning element, and ice element in the world that you can go absorb.
Okay.
And then you craft your spells by combining them. And so you can, whatever you put the most energy of is like the main component of the spell. So if you put like 99 fire into a thing and 20 ice and 20 lightning, it will be a fire spell. But then you can also combine an item with it, which affects how it casts. So it can do things like casting 5 times in a row. Or healing you when you cast.
Hmm.
And depending on the elemental mix, it can change up. So like if you have just a 99 points of fire spell and you add something, it might cast fire 3 times in a row.
So it's kind of like, or I guess more like the alchemy systems that they've had in previous games.
Yeah. But like, if you put 20 lightning in there, you'll get a stronger fire spell, but instead it will cast fire once and then randomly cast fire or thunder after that a few times.
Huh.
It's a very interesting system. And the magic is kind of on a fairly long cooldown, so it's basically a giant nuke you can throw. It's not a huge problem. The problem with the magic is it does not discern between friends and foe, and it's very difficult to tell your friends to get away from the giant horde of enemies. You have to use it as an opener. But the thing is, this game is incredibly forgiving with taking damage in a weird way.
How so?
Well, basically, outside of combat, you full heal automatically, which is nice.
Zestiria works very similarly, I think.
There's at least one other game I'm familiar with.
That's kind of a common trend now. Also, you have different ways to heal in combat for your character. Basically, you can take cover, like in a first-person shooter, and that will regen your health. Or also, you can warp to vantage points, and that will quickly recover your health as well.
I like that they have vantage points. That's like really promoting the theory of battlefield control.
Yes. Yeah. And the combat is very fun because of that. Basically, if a character goes down, his maximum HP just is reduced by a little bit, and you can use healing items to recover that. But you have to go down like 6 or 7 times before your max HP gets to the point where you die, and then you have Phoenix down still, which will fully heal you. So the game is very forgiving, and I don't know how I feel about that. The combat is super fun, so it's not a problem, but it's very rare that I feel like I'm taking risks. That does have the side effect of you can tackle enemies that are much, much higher level than you, and feel like if you do the combat right, you still have a pretty good chance, which is really cool, but that makes it feel like it's hard to get a gauge on your stats for that reason. So all the systems are cool, but it's weird how they link, and it's feels kind of fuzzy where they meet. Every moment of playing the game is fun, though, so it doesn't really come up. It's the thing you think about when you're trying to explain the game to someone else, or trying to think what you're going to say about it on the podcast. You realize that you don't really know how it all works, but it's always fun in the moment. All I want to do is go to new diners and talk to the guy and have him tell me, we've been having problems with mind flayers, so I can go fight them.
Well, so that at least sounds successful if you're enjoying your
experience. It's just weird that I do not care at all about the main story. Like, the characters feel like a group of teenage friends, but like I don't really know anything about them, and that's kind of annoying because there's the one guy they are all just constantly putting down who puts up with it, which feels super realistic but also really crummy of the other guys.
Imagine why that would feel realistic.
Well, I mean, this just sounds like every Elder Scrolls game. It's like there is a main story.
Yeah,
I don't care
feels like
about
that. That's honest, only with a good combat system.
And say, I've been playing a lot of Zestiria recently. I actually kind of forgot about it until you brought this up, but it sounds very similar to that, except with probably more square polish on it.
The last thing I want to talk about is the level-up system, which I like a lot, or rather the experience system. So you gain experience from completing quests and killing monsters, pretty much how you would expect, but then it doesn't actually apply until you rest.
Okay.
So again, like an
Oblivion.
An Elder Scrolls game.
But that's cool because, you know, in most Final Fantasy games, you're just getting XP after every battle and you're not leveling up most of the time. Because it all happens at once, you almost always level up when you rest. And there's also this interesting mechanic where you can choose to just camp. And if you camp, you get to cook food, which gives you a buff for the next day. Or you can choose to, like, go to a hotel. And that costs you money, but the more expensive the hotel, you get a multiplier on your XP for the day.
Oh, that's sweet.
Pretty neat.
Which creates a very interesting press your luck mechanic where, especially since at night, much more dangerous monsters come out, and it's very difficult to drive because if a monster attacks you on the road, you have to get out and fight it. So if a monster you can't take, like, attacks you on the road at night, you have to abandon your car and come back for it later, which is interesting. So, you can stay out at night and try to keep getting XP to get a giant boost, or you can, like, cash in more frequently for less XP.
But also less money overall because you have to spend it.
Yeah, and also it keeps your money low, which is something I think RPGs struggle with. Most of the time, you end up with just a giant thing of money that you can just spend as you like. You want to spend your money on these XP boosts, which means when you get to a place where you can buy new equipment, it becomes a choice. And like I said, healing items are very powerful in this, so this way they have an actual cost.
Well, that's good.
Is it on the PC yet?
No, I don't think so, which is too bad. because I really like it. It's got weird problems, and I can't say it doesn't. Like, it's weird that I don't care about the story, and it's weird that it's not really clear how these things go together. But it's so much fun. Just the game loop of going out, completing quests, fighting monsters on the way, finding treasure, finding these elements, and then getting back to town to rest.
And then hanging out in diners.
Yes. The 50s aesthetic is weird. It feels so much like a Final Fantasy game and so much like not one.
Well, obviously, Fallout was really popular, and Japan was like, well, we need to cash in on that 50s. Well,
I really like this trend of Japanese developers clearly looking at popular American games and making and taking them as actual influence.
Actually, like, changing something about what they've been doing for the last 20 years?
I'm real excited for Breath of the Wild for similar reasons.
And Zelda like Skyrim?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so this week we played Alex Kidd, The Lost Stars. But before that, not because I'm just stalling, we got an email.
Ooh.
Hi again, Ryan.
Yeah, from Ryan Pickard, who has actually emailed us before. I'm not going to read the whole email out because it's kind of on the long side.
Kevin, why do you send us emails? You just talked to us. And why do you call yourself Ryan?
And why did you suggest Tony Hawk?
I don't know.
Oh, wait, no, hang on. This is Ed.
All right, so Ryan sent us the top 10 games, in his opinion, that we've played. I actually do like the idea of people commenting on our top list. That's actually kind of the point of it. Controversy creates cash. So I'm very happy with people writing in, telling us what they think of the list. In particular, though, he talked about Super Mario 64 and how he thinks it holds up. And I think I did not the best job of explaining what's good about Mario 64. A lot of the movement mechanics are really good. It's really nice how natural Mario feels when he moves, how you do a different jump when you do a sharp turn. That feels less like a hidden mechanic and more like just them trying to naturally make it feel like he's moving correctly. The way the button combinations work for different jumps, it's all very good.
I mean, it's still a fun game, but we had that discussion. I'm satisfied with where it ended
and
up.
I don't think that the hooks for it hold up. Like, the reason to play Mario 64 today is because you liked it when you were a kid and want to go back to it, or for entirely historical reasons.
Or you're a speedrunner.
Or you're an unfortunate podcast host who's forced into it.
Mario 64 does have a very interesting speedrun game as well, but I don't know who's getting into the Mario 64 speedrun scene that has never played Mario 64 before.
I could see people that, because it's just got a bunch of very fun stuff, so I could
That's
definitely
true.
See somebody going, oh, I saw the, you know, any percent run of Mario 64 and thought, that looks like a ton of fun.
And then they went and played Battlefield.
Is that bounty for the jump glitch still active, do you know?
I think it is, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Okay. For those who don't know, there's this weird glitch that has happened to multiple speedrunners in Mario 64 on a level that, like, shoots them to the top of the level. It's happened on multiple different streams at live, so people know it's a real thing,
but no one
has been able to do it on purpose.
Yeah, they still haven't been able to recreate the glitch, and it shaved a ton of time off the run, so...
And it would also make a no-jump run of the game possible. So anyway, he put that at the top of the list of games he likes that we've played. I would not put it there, obviously.
And at the bottom.
I would put it right where we put it. At the bottom, he put Super Metroid, which... he also sent a list of games he just really likes, most of which we'll probably play for the podcast. Donkey Kong Country 2 is on there. We'll probably play that kind of soon.
Final Fantasy X, that's an old-ass game now.
Yeah, Final Fantasy X is a game I know we all like, so we'll get to it eventually. You like Final Fantasy X? Don't lie.
Since when do I like Final Fantasy X?
You like Blitzball, which is part of Final Fantasy X.
But I don't like Final Fantasy X.
Oh, Zach,
I like Blitzball.
You're so funny. Ha, ha, ha.
I am holding something heavy and hurtful.
I never liked Final Fantasy X because I think I made it to the first enemy encounter, couldn't beat it no matter how hard I tried. And I don't know what I was doing wrong.
How did you manage that?
I don't know.
I don't know. Like, Aaron is like, hit X, bro, and then you'll
slash
this guy.
Not the tutorial part, like the first actual enemy encounter.
Oh, where you're paired up with Riku?
Yeah.
Huh, that doesn't...
I think I know which one he's talking about,
so
but I'm still confused as to how you don't...
I don't know.
I mean, I'm really bad at games like that.
Well, maybe I just had bad luck constantly, but it was... I couldn't get past it, and I was like... I was renting the game at the time, so I was like, I'm just going to get something else.
We'll let you know when we play it, if you're curious and seen...
I actually just re-bought
actually
it,
like it,
so...
I've got
I got X2 with it as well.
Getting those two on my PC, because they're combined
yes, I know.
All the time on...
They are one game. It's game is the remake of both of them.
I have two copies of both.
I don't know what happened to my brother's copy of Final Fantasy. Oh, you do?
Yes, I know it. I know right where it is. All right. So thank you for that email, Ryan. Almost good things must come to an end. And now it is time to talk about Alex Kidd, The Lost Stars.
Let's see. Let's see. There's got to be another way to postpone. I mean,
Kevin, why are you on all the bad Sega games we play episodes?
I don't know. Stop inviting me to them.
All Sega games are also
bad. We're not inviting you. You just keep showing up. I even tried changing the locks on my house. Then I forgot people let him in.
Yeah, then your mom let him in. And,
So Alex Kidd, like we said, it was Sega's answer to Mario. They didn't really understand the question, I don't think.
Definitely not.
They didn't understand the question, and they put yes on a true false answer.
Well, so they designed an incredibly intelligent machine, and it spat out 42, and also Alex Kidd.
So, like the previous game, this is vaguely based on Journey to the West, and the same way the Cell Saga is vaguely based on Journey to the West.
Is it supposed to be based on Journey to the West?
The original arc of Dragon Ball is Journey to the West. That's why Goku has a tail.
Yeah, I know that. I mean,
he was asking about Alex Kidd.
No, well, the first one, yes, very clearly.
Is this one still supposed to be based on it?
But Alex Kidd is based on Wukong.
That's what I was confused about.
So it's like almost a completely different game. The sprites are much, much bigger, and the sprites look real good, but the backgrounds are just so not neon. I don't even know how to describe it. They're so garish.
Yeah, that's actually a great way to describe it.
I didn't really notice, but I just remember them looking like garbage.
What's actually really funny about that is they get progressively less garish as you go on and just kind of like mind-numbingly patterned.
Can you start telling the difference between the foreground and the background? Because I had so many problems with this game, not realizing where platforms ended and falling to my death.
I couldn't tell where things were. I didn't have that problem. I had problems with our enemy sets getting around the enemies, but I never had problems figuring out whether or not something was there. No, that's not entirely true. There was one place where I could climb on a pipe that I accidentally got stuck on.
And then there's
a
monorail.
I didn't realize it was there the first time around because I just stepped on a block I didn't realize was a springboard, and it sprung me on top of that thing.
Well, and it's just there the entire time. Like, you don't really realize that it's an interactable object.
I died on that monorail because the actual, like, train was coming, and I was trying to jump a platform, and of course this platform is right next to the monorail, so instead of jumping to the platform, I grabbed a hold of the monorail and the train ran me over. It was like, well that's not cool.
So before we get into the nitty-gritty, let's talk about the verbs you have in this game. And the first, Alex Kidd, you could jump and you could punch. In this one, you can jump, and then if you collect an S that falls to the ground, you get 20 Kamehameha shots that you can shoot at enemies. By default, you don't have a way to interact with enemies.
It is not clear when you pick that thing up, because I did not realize that's what I picked up in order to attack.
The power-ups in this game are just letters. There's S for, I think, shoot. There's J for jump, and there's SC, which gives you time on the clock. And we should talk about the clock. So the timer in this game is also your life bar. It slowly degrades as you play the game, and then if you get hit, you lose a large chunk of it.
I thought it was also your ammunition counter. Because I hit the button, and I attacked something, and then that bar ticked down.
But it just happened to happen at that same time.
Yeah, because I tested it later on, and was like, oh, so that must not be it. But what exactly is that bar? That's my health bar. Why is it ticking down? Am I poisoned or something? Are we talking about another comic zone situation? No, it's worse because it's actually the timer for the mission as well.
You live in a corrosive environment.
I don't think having the timer and the life bar linked is actually a bad thing. I think Sonic games or like games about doing things quickly could actually benefit from that a lot. The problem with it, as I see it, is getting hit most of the time. You lose some of your time and then respawn right where you are with some hit invincibility, except on obstacles where the game decides you need to start at the beginning of that obstacle, which are kind of inconsistent and suck. The problem, I think, is if you fall into a pit, and this is a platformer, so it has pits, you then go back to a checkpoint, but you don't regain any of your time. And if you lose all your time, you go back to the start of the level. It's just a lot of moving around where you're starting from.
I died a couple of times. I never actually fell down a pit to restart from the checkpoint, so I've heard you guys talking about poor checkpointing, but I didn't notice it. Largely, that was because the enemies are fashioned in such a way that a lot of them are just an absolute pain to get around.
Yeah, the monorail train hit me into a pit. Because there's that section where you basically you use the monorail to get over a giant pit, and so when the monorail hit me, I was over a giant pit. So I got hit, lost some health, fell into a pit, lost more health, and then went back like halfway across the level and was like, "Yeah, I'm done with this."
Yeah, it's a pain. And then, like I said, there are those blocks that you can just walk over, and they're springboards. So they're pink, and those are springboards, but not all the pink blocks are springboards.
Yeah. So let's talk about how this game conveys information, because that's really its biggest sin. Enemy behavior isn't random, but you'll have the same type of enemy who behave in different ways. At the start of the first level, there are these two robots you have to jump over. Then there's a third robot who will always jump, so you have to let him jump over you. They're identical.
That's the second level, not the first level.
Oh, I thought I said second level.
You said first.
Okay, yes, that is the second level. But there's just so much stuff like that, where the only way to get by these obstacles is to know how they're going to act. Game design. Seamus Young, a blogger I like, calls it "Do It Again, Stupid," where it's you have to know what the game wants you to do, and the only way to really know is to have played it already.
Alternatively,
I think I usually refer to those as gotcha moments.
There's also "I don't want to be the guy." I generally refer to it as artificial difficulty. It's something that's not actually hard, but you have to know that it's
going to artificial
happen.
Difficulty yep. encompasses a lot of different things. Those moments of you have to know they're going to happen first is usually what I refer to as a gotcha moment, because like rubber banding in a racing game is artificial difficulty.
That's fair. But like that's the entire concept of "I want to be the guy."
Yeah, but the thing is, that's the feature of "I want to play the guy." Like if you have a different game over screen for every possible death, that becomes content, right? And "I want to be the guy," the gotcha moments are the content.
Yeah, that's the point. The gotcha moment is the point in that particular game. In a lot of other games, the gotcha moment isn't the point. Like for XCOM, a lot of the time when the enemies do something new, it's not a matter of, you know, gotcha. It's you're learning more information because you're given a set amount of information and you're given the tools to deal with it.
But you can distinguish between all the cases, right? And that's the important thing. This game does
a bad
job telegraphing
that. Alex Kidd,
you
can't learn enemy behaviors because the next enemy might behave entirely differently, even though he looks identical. There's similar things where there's a set of three platforms on the second level. The first one you jump on will fall, and you have to jump off it right away.
And then it raises.
The second one raises, which is fine, but they look identical, and it's just something you have to know. And it's the same solution. You want to jump off it quickly, but it's just a lack of consistency. And the weird colors in the game just make it feel like a weird fantasy land. For those of you who play tabletop RPGs, and in tabletop RPG, you can do anything, but you can't do anything. You can't flap your arms and fly away.
As we've tried.
Alex Kidd seems like a game where you could flap your arms and run away. Some of that's intentional. One of the enemies, and I like this, Zach doesn't as much, Tyler thinks that he liked it too, are dogs that will shoot little things that say bow wow at you. They'll shoot a B, an O, a W.
My problem with them is that they take so long for it to get through, because you can't actually jump over the bow wow and the dog in one leap.
Yeah, no, you have to wait for
it to
pass over.
You have to sit there and wait.
You can also shoot the letters of the bow wow, but that takes a little longer.
The very first enemy in the game that you encounter is the dog.
Okay,
and you don't have a weapon.
Yeah.
If you can just sit there, all you can do is sit there and watch as it goes by if you don't want to take damage.
So your problem with them is mechanical.
Well, also, if you get to that first dog fast enough, you can just jump over it before it gets enough letters out.
Yeah, and I guess I like them because they're whimsical.
Yeah, me too, but I don't like the mechanics of them.
Because the mechanics are obnoxious.
So, also, this game gives kind of poor feedback. When you get hit, you disappear in a poof of smoke and the game pauses. It's kind of like Mario getting hit and shrinking, but it happens so much more often that it's just an annoyance.
Well, the other thing is, in Mario, when you get hit and you shrink, it's a game state change, and it doesn't actually take that long, because it's the same thing in...
I think it takes about as long as in Alex Kidd.
In Mario, you have that game state change when you take damage and you lose a bit, but you always get that same thing when you gain.
That's
so you
true.
Know when you get bigger, you've got additional hits. Well, when you pick up a fireball, you know you've picked up a fireball, and so something has changed.
Well, and mechanically, in Alex Kidd, it changes.
When you pick up the power of, I can shoot things now... You pick up a power, you pick up a box, and it doesn't do anything. You don't know what it
did. Your ammo counter goes up, but that's super easy to miss.
Well, it doesn't show anything changed, and I'm not staring at the ceiling to see what it is. I think I accidentally hit a button, and that's when I accidentally shot something after I picked it up because I tried hitting the buttons before.
Well, no.
Didn't get anything out of it.
The menu isn't extremely easy to read on that first level because of how bright everything is, and I think the fact that isn't the ammo counter in white?
Yeah, on the black screen, though.
Oh, okay.
On the black part of the screen, I should say.
Okay, I must have missed that then. I thought it was like hovering over the background, so it was like, oh yeah, it's this white on this like super bright screen where I can barely tell what my character is.
Then that gets less pronounced as you go on. Eventually, the backgrounds just have bizarre patterns that hurt your eyes, but at least they're appropriately contrasting colors.
So I was going to say, I would recommend this game to people who want to make platformers to avoid pitfalls, but I feel like so many of the pitfalls this game makes are so obvious now and were obvious when the game was made. The only selling point I can think of it over an NES game is it has more color and bigger sprites, but even Mega Man was doing that on the NES, and it came at the cost of performance sometimes, but those are still better made games.
This game came out after Super Mario Brothers.
Yes, I know. So,
I'm just saying, Sega do what Nintendo don't. Yes, and what Sega do Mario Brothers was make bad games.
World 1-1 is so good of a level, and I'm not even a big fan of Super Mario, but that level does so much stuff right. It's
imagine
like,
if the beginning of that level just had Bowser sitting there going, bow wow.
That'd be awful, but like you just have so much that you can see and do in that first screen even to figure out what you're doing. Alex Kidd is, good luck, numbnuts. Let's see what you can do before you die.
Never mind Mario and one. The first level of the first Alex Kidd game is so much better than this. I went back and replayed some of it. It's not a great game, but it's got blocks you can punch. It's teaching you how the movement mechanics work. You go down and you get into some water and you see the swimming mechanics. It looks better than this game. Alex Kidd is a smaller sprite, but you can work pick him out from the background. So, it's got much better color to it.
The one thing I will say in credit of this game is that this was a port of an arcade version, and the arcade version is much better. Okay, maybe not much better. It's got a lot of similar mechanically problems, but visually it's a lot better.
That's not forgiving.
No, it's not.
Gameplay problems and aesthetic problems can very much go hand in hand. Going back to the Mario shrinking thing, that shrinking sound effect from Mario, it's just like made up noise. But it's not a nice sound, it's a bad sound, you don't want to hear it. But it is conveying information. Whereas Alex Kidd, when he sits, there's a little, that's just like so annoying. And I think you could make that better just by changing the sound.
Also, did any of you guys
block that out?
So you beat the first level.
Yes.
Fine, the Mystic Ball.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, I'm sure it sounded great in arcade. And to be fair, for a Master System game, sampling like that, it's a lot better than get the paw. But again, it's not making up for the bad gameplay. So are there any other final thoughts on this? Sega continues to disappoint. It would be like if our post had headlines, that would be the one I use.
I mean, it's got just a plethora of yeah.
Don't.
I was trying to be a little more eloquent about it.
You guys are far more forgiving about stuff like this than I am.
Oh, it's a terrible game. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but you guys try and couch stuff with...
It's a bottom 10 shooter. I'm just playing devil's advocate. This game took some people's hard work. I'm sure someone thought this would be good. I just don't know who. I'm disappointed, because the first Alex Kidd game wasn't good, but like...
It was interesting.
With improvements, it could have been, and it didn't make any.
No, I understand. Somebody probably worked very hard on this. It doesn't make it good.
I work very hard on my paintings, but that doesn't mean I'm a good painter, right?
And Sega should stop video games.
Have you seen my art?
No.
Have you seen my drawing capabilities?
How about you, Kevin? Any final thoughts?
Just don't.
All right, then.
Winners don't do Alex Kidd.
Seriously.
So speaking of just don't, on our website at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, we have a list of all the video games we've played from best to worst. The worst is Echo the Dolphin. Will it be after today? Find out soon.
Probably, yes.
At the top is Chrono Trigger. It's way better than this game.
Indeed.
I probably say that for Chrono Trigger all the time, but it's way better than most games. In the middle, we have Crazy Taxi today.
Huh. Okay, it's been a while since that's been in the middle spot.
I think we should start with the first Alex Kidd game, and like I already said, I think this is much worse.
Yeah, especially since the first one you can, like, buy a motorcycle and various power-up. It has a lot more, like, it still has the whimsy, but is also more interesting to play.
I can't remember it.
Yeah, it's not a great game. It's very mediocre.
But it's much better than this.
Agreed.
So next platformer on the list is Ristar. I think it's worse than that, too.
I kind of actively like Ristar. I mean, it's not great.
Yeah, it's worse than Ristar. Ristar had some redeeming qualities. It was a little weird, but
It's a relatively tight platformer.
Then we get to nice Sega platformers on the Master System. Zach's favorite, Sonic 2 with the hang glider.
Oh, God.
So do you hate that game more than this game, Zach?
I think I dislike this game slightly more. But
I dislike this game way more, I think.
I'm already outvoted, so this game goes beneath it, right?
Yeah. So what about the first Sonic on the Master System? Another game I think is better than this.
I don't think I played that one.
You're right. You did not play that one.
I think I agree, though.
Yeah, so it's worse. Okay, I think we're out of Master System platformers. So how do we think it compares to Super Star Wars?
Wow. Actually, they have a lot of similar design problems, now that I'm thinking about it.
Well, let's see. I don't believe Alex Kidd has any moments in which Darth Vader turns into a scorpion for
That's reasons. Not Super Star Wars. That's NES Star Wars.
Oh, there's a difference? Oh, yes. No, Super Star Wars is Empire Strikes Back.
No, that's
right?
Super Empire Strikes Back. It's even lower.
The hell is this one, then?
You climb the sandcrawler forever.
Oh, God, that was terrible.
But, like, I could tell what the art was, and that's comparing graphics isn't super fair. It's a Master System game versus a Super Nintendo game. The backgrounds are much clearer.
Well, they have similar feedback issues, though, and, like, mechanically they have similar problems. Like, there are a lot of random pits that you can just get knocked into.
But there was, with Super Star Wars, there was a level of, I want to beat this. The challenges weren't good, but they didn't put me off. At the end of the second level of Alex Kidd the Lost Stars, there's just this, like, field of lightning that kind of has a pattern to it, sort of, but it's really hard to tell when the lightning's going to shoot up. And if you get hit once, you go back to the beginning of it. It's as opposed to, like, every other obstacle where you just stay where you were with damage. And that was so off-putting to me.
I couldn't get very far in either one, so I'm having a hard time.
Yeah,
thinking.
I mean,
I think I'd have to go with Super Star Wars just because it's a bit more of an impressive game to try and look at.
Luke moves more fluidly, all those never-ending womp rat spawns.
All right, so Ghosts and Goblins, because Tyler brought that up. I think Ghosts and Goblins is more interesting as well. Well, it's got the different weapon power-ups. It's very clear when you pick up a power-up.
That's true. It's pretty clear when you get hit. You only have a certain number of hits. I mostly brought it up because I know Zach likes to harp on it, and I was wondering which one you disliked more.
Alex Kidd, Ghosts and Goblins is annoyingly difficult, but at the very least, it's functional. It's annoyingly difficult, but that's also kind of its thing. Whereas Alex Kidd just kind of looked like somebody ate a box of crayons and vomited on a game cartridge.
I'm actually kind of wondering now if we... Because Ghosts and Goblins, I think, was one of the first 10 or 20 games we had played on the podcast. I'm wondering if it would have ranked higher if we had played it later.
Unlikely. I think it would rank a little higher. I don't think it would, like, be up there, but I think it would have made it a little higher than it is currently. So, Super Empire Strikes Back, the game Zach was thinking about.
Which is like the original, but more white.
At least when you double jump, you swing a lightsaber. That's cool. Man, I don't like either games. I find both of their challenges really bad and punishing. But again, and this isn't super fair, the graphics for Super Empire Strikes Back are so much clearer.
Saying it's clearer, I think, is fair, because you can definitely, like, look at Castlevania. That's certainly not much more visually complex than this game, but they made way better color choice. I would so probably have to give it to Super Empire Strikes Back, if only because lightsabers make cool vroom vroom noises.
Any thoughts, Zach?
I could be easily swayed. So if you have an argument,
as much as I don't like this game, I think I'd have to go with Alex Kidd, because Super Star Wars is actually really easy to get jammed somewhere because you fell off the tauntaun in the wrong place.
That is true.
And it was a lot of ways. It was so white. Sometimes it was hard to tell what was going on exactly, especially that first chunk where the blizzard is going on. It's sometimes difficult to actually be able to see what you're doing.
And I was never actively frustrated with this game. I just found it extremely boring.
So are you going to flip, Tyler? I'm not, but...
Nope, I am not going to flip.
All right.
Incredibly professional of you, Tyler.
So at least you didn't flip a coin.
So it will go in the bottom 10. Now the question is where. I think we're out of platformers. Well, Echo the Dolphin. Hey, let's shoot for the bottom. How do we think it compares to Echo the Dolphin?
I actually like it better than Echo the Dolphin.
They're both terrible, but I think Alex Kidd is actually a bit better put together than Echo.
I mean, playing devil's advocate, though, Echo the Dolphin is an original idea. Have you ever heard about dolphins being attacked by space hurricane
aliens? Just because something is an original idea doesn't make it a good idea.
Let me play devil's advocate. Echo the Dolphin has a crazy story, but that's something. Like, that is an interesting point. And again, it's visually clearer. That said, going through mazes sucks, and especially bad mazes with weird keys. Kevin, you played that game. Do you have any thoughts here?
I played Echo longer.
Was that just because your computer broke?
No.
I also played Echo longer. I didn't find it particular. I was oddly driven to do more in it, although I just, it's a train wreck of bad design decisions.
I think I liked it more for the story versus in Alex Kidd, nothing really grabbed me. It was like, all right, so I'm in this pastel colored game and
Lego Block Kingdom.
Yep, and I fell into a pit and I'm now like halfway back across the level, so.
I mean, I would definitely watch a crazy anime starring Echo the Dolphin. I feel like that could be a thing.
The mazes are really bad.
They are, yes. No, I stand by.
No, the platforming of Alex Kidd is also really bad.
I think it's better.
Okay.
I think it's mechanically better.
I think one of the reasons why Alex Kidd is a bit better mechanically is because Alex Kidd doesn't have the problem of being gated by something, but you're not sure which one you're gated by.
Fair.
Namely, the crystals that look the exact same but interact with
them
opposite manners.
All right, so how do we think it compares to Golden Axe, then? Because I think I'd way rather play some Golden Axe. At least it has turtles.
I would, too, especially because Golden Axe has multiplayer.
Tyler, any thoughts?
It's definitely more meme-worthy. I mean, like, aesthetically, it's way more interesting than Alex Kidd, especially given similar hardware limitations.
The combat, I think, is better than the platforming in Alex Kidd. Now that's good by any stretch of the imagination.
I cast a neutral vote, but I think both of you are leaning towards...
The final question, better or worse than Phantasy Star 2?
Well, that is a question.
I feel like they're bad for similar reasons. The gameplay in both sucks, right? It's difficult to get your footing and figure out where to start first in both. But again, I hate to keep going back to graphics, but at least these two games were on the same system. The anime art style of Phantasy Star 2 is so much more engaging to me than this
cartoony
style. Phantasy Star 2 is actively obtuse.
Isn't?
This is go right. It is obtuse in a way, but the basic mechanic isn't hidden from me.
Yeah, no, Alex Kidd isn't obtuse. It's just the challenges you're presented with are awkward to get around, and it's not, I guess it's not intentionally obtuse. That's it. Phantasy Star 2 was on the Master System?
Yep.
Wow. I thought it was on the Genesis, so.
Phantasy Star 3 is, maybe that's when they'll start to get good. I mean, can only hope. That is literally all we can do. I'm sure it isn't.
I'd say it's a technological marvel, if nothing else, because it looks so good. I would probably have to give it to Phantasy Star 2 because there's just so much more going on in that game.
Yeah, I think I agree. So, Zach, you're outvoted. Alex Kidd goes at number 187, above Echo the Dolphin and below Phantasy Star 2.
So, really quick, just looking at the distribution there.
Huh.
The bottom four...
Five games are...
No, Space
Sega
Area
games.
Was NES.
No, Space Area was on the Master System, buddy.
Are you sure?
You want to lose Trico Bet?
Yes. I would look it up, except I don't have internet, so...
Oh, don't worry. We're doing this live.
I love that video.
Space Harrier is an arcade video game developed and released by Sega Enterprises in December 1985.
Okay, well, I thought it was an NES game, but clearly I was wrong, so never mind. The bottom five of the list.
You thought Space Harrier was an NES game?
Yeah.
It looks like it couldn't fit on the NES, actually. It looks like the NES would not be capable of that, and thank God. All right, then.
It's not capable of this level of horror.
So, Kevin, why don't you tell the people why you came on the podcast? Because it's for the game we're playing next week, not this piece of garbage.
Yeah.
It's for a different piece of garbage.
So I had heard about this game called Planescape Torment, which is supposed to be a very fun RPG.
Yeah, I think
I've heard of that one.
The sequel just came out yesterday.
I think we've talked about it on this podcast.
I think we have. But yeah, the sequel, it's not a D&D licensed game. It's Torment something something. Just came out like 2 days ago.
I hadn't known about that, but I heard about this and it sounded fun.
It's got a large fan following too.
It does. And it was made by Chris Avalon, who made a bunch of better games later. So,
spoilers.
Next time on Last Time, Torment.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2017. For the conceptually impaired, all video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright their respective owners. If you'd like to get in touch with us, drop us a line at lpovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. Or hit us up on our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find an archive of all the old episodes, in addition to a bunch of written material. The dog says, bow wow. The Tyler says, episode over.
Inside joke corner. at work the other day, we were talking about politics, and I made a whoever wins, we lose joke, and then I accidentally said alien versus president. Alien versus Predator, and then we decided that Arnold Schwarzenegger had to fight the president, and that was the type of alien we were talking about, because he can't legally become president, so he will have to battle to do so.
That's pretty great.
That is alien versus president. Anyway.